Well, good morning to you. My name is Mark Salem, and sitting next to me is my gatekeeper, my parole officer.
You're already starting.
Yeah. Somebody who's responsible for my behavior?
I'm not taking that responsibility. Mm-hmm. Sorry.
All righty. Anyway, we're here to talk about cars, and if you'd like to join us, you can. 602-508-0960, 602-508-0960. And I got a question the other day that I get a lot.
Okay.
And it's, I'm looking for somebody that just works on Volvos, Miatas, Mustangs and all that kind of stuff. And it's kind of hard to answer that, but I'll tell you what I do know. The guys that specialize in those cars have a life cycle that's very short.
Mm-hmm.
You see the guy that opens up that just does Volvos. Now, he has a chance down the road in the near future to open up his business to the other cars that Mr. and Mrs. Jones have. But in reality, he has to, because Volvo is a 1%er car. It's 1% of the cars on the road. There's 5 or 6 that are north of double digits, 10 and up. So Chevy, Ford, Chrysler, Honda, Toyota. Those are the big dogs. You know, the Rolls Royces and the Maseratis, they're down there in 0.5% of the fleet.
Mm-hmm.
But you can't really make a living. Now, the other side of that coin is those of us, and there's a lot of us, that understand spark and fuel and compression and cam timing and how the car works, we don't have any problem.
No.
Now, it is true that the Volvo guy or the Toyota guy, he may have already seen the problem. He may have already seen it. He's going to find it faster and then bid it and collect diagnosis, then part and labor. It might take me a little longer, but the price is still the same. Because the diagnostic time, he's short on the diagnostic time. So if it's 100, he got it at 50.
Mm-hmm.
And for me, if I was supposed to match him at 50 and I went to 100, then it is what it is.
Mm-hmm.
But he's probably going to charge 100 and the same as I am.
Exactly.
The part and the labor.
Look.
Yeah. Is, but in reality, that doesn't happen very often. I mean, in our shop, it's not often that somebody will walk over and go, I don't know what that is.
Mm-hmm.
That doesn't happen.
Right.
I mean, Eddie had that Ford truck in there that every time you shut the car off, the engine would run until you opened up the driver's door. Nobody had ever seen that. And then we also have the ability to go on different membership websites and share that kind of information. You know, I had a truck in here, a Dodge truck in here the other day, and every time you opened the door, it sounded like a chicken clucking. And then somebody will come up and say, I already fixed that.
Mm-hmm.
So those are the kinds of things that you run across. But I'm not of the opinion that we need a specialized tech for my car. On the other hand, do you remember the last time that we actually said we're not the best person for this car?
Yeah. I mean, I don't remember what vehicle it was, but we have said that before. Sure.
And it is true.
Mm-hmm.
And there are some specialized shops out there. We had a Range Rover, and we had to do a rear pinion seal on it. And we didn't have the equipment. But one of the techs knew a guy that does Range Rover.
Right.
So between him and us, we were able to get it done.
Yeah.
On the other hand, I was just as happy to send the Range Rover to him.
Mm-hmm.
But I wanted the customer to be his customer. I didn't want to be in the middle of this relationship.
Yeah.
So we oftentimes see that. On newer model cars, we'll sometimes send you to the dealer because they might have already seen this pattern failure.
Right.
So, you know, I do a lot of consulting. You know, I do a lot of mechanical stuff. And it's always this issue of the manufacturers. The manufacturers, just, it's never their fault.
Mm-hmm.
Nothing is ever their fault. We don't do anything wrong. So I had the opportunity the other day to write a response to that. And I said, well, if you don't do anything wrong, why do we have 100 recalls a day?
Yeah.
Why do we have all these technical service bulletins that if you see this, then wave a dead chicken around your head and honk like a goose and it'll go away? I mean, why is it that you create this perception that you never do anything wrong and our cars are always perfect? Why do you even have a warranty if your cars are perfect? What do we need a warranty for? So that kind
for
of
a warranty and for a lifetime or something.
Yeah. 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 That's likely to happen. So another thing that we have we hear a lot is aftermarket warranties.
Yeah.
I am so, you know, it's the same question and the same answer. Put the money that they're going to otherwise charge you, divide it up, and put that money in the bank, and you'll always pay. Mm-hmm. You'll always come out better. How many times do you remember that I have bought an aftermarket warranty?
Maybe once.
Do you remember what it was on?
I think it was on a motorhome.
It was. It was on that Ford Chassis Bounder motorhome. And I bought
You have owned a Ford before.
No,
you
did.
You just admitted
no,
it.
No. That was a mistake. I thought it had a Chevy.
Right.
It had a GM suspension on it.
Oh, sure.
But you've also heard me say, you just made us make a hard left turn, that the F53 chassis on a motorhome, which is from Ford, is the best chassis for the up to 40-footers.
Okay.
There's no question about that. There's never been a question in my mind. We work on both the GM chassis, and I can't remember what that model is, whatever it is. But anyway, the GM chassis motorhome and the Ford chassis motorhome, there is a big world of difference between those two. So that is the first time that I'm ever going to defend Ford.
Oh, great.
You know?
Okay.
It's just not my favorite company. It's not my favorite company because they're the big one, them and Chrysler, to some extent, we never make a mistake.
Yeah.
But then what do we do about recalls? That's a mistake.
Yeah.
You designed a part. You had it made in Indonesia, in Africa, in Japan, in China. You had it made, and then all of a sudden, it broke.
Yeah.
And it's a pattern failure, and now you're recalling everybody, just like my Dodge truck, for the interlock.
Right.
So you have to push the brake to get it out of park. So what's the deal with that?
Yeah. Well, you went to aftermarket. So aftermarket warranties. So you don't like them.
No.
And you would suggest that they put money in once a month, however much they would have spent on this policy.
Right.
And then save it for when you need it, because most of the time, a lot of stuff is not covered.
Well, and then they also fight with you all the time.
Right.
And that's why we've just kind of avoided that relationship at all. If you have an aftermarket warranty and you're one of your customers, go to the dealer, go somewhere else.
Yeah.
Because my favorite story, and it happened not too long ago, is the lady came in, the radiator had a hole in it. So this guy asked for her maintenance records, and we provided them. And she had everything lined up.
Mm-hmm.
And he goes, well, she hasn't done a transmission service. And here's what he's thinking. There are two lines that come from the transmission, and inside the radiator is this coil. So we're going to run the fluid from the radiator through this coil where it's cooler than the fluid is,
mm-hmm.
and we're going to transfer some heat, and then we're going to send it back to the transmission.
Yeah.
So he says, so we're not going to cover it. And I say, well, what sense does that make?
Mm-hmm.
It has nothing to do with the transmission cooler in the radiator. That's not the problem. The radiator just blew the header off of it. No, we're not going to cover that.
Yeah.
That's fraud at its finest.
Yeah.
That just absolutely is fraud at its finest.
Yeah.
So if the aftermarket warranty, you know, is $3,000 for 3 years, divide that by 36 months and put that money in the bank and you'll always come out better. Now, they don't pay for shop supplies, environmental charges, oftentimes not Freon or coolant. Oftentimes you have to pay all of that.
Right.
And so they'll cover the part. Then sometimes what aggravates you, and you can see my panties are wadded up right now, they'll say to us, well, we're going to send you this $1,200 part. And then the question is, who's going to warranty that part? Well, you are. No, I'm not.
Mm-hmm.
I didn't make any money on that part. You're going to send it to me. Now, this car is on the rack, and your inspector made me drop the rack and pinion, which is part of the steering, onto the ground so he could see where it was leaking. So now I can't put that car on the ground because the front wheels are not tied to the steering wheel. So now you want me to do what? For 3 days.
Mm-hmm.
Keep that car in the rack? Okay, I'll just charge you a rack fee for the next 3 days.
Mm-hmm.
I'll just push it out. No. I'm not going to take your cheap part and put it in this customer's car. I'm going to buy him a part that I'd put on my mother's car.
Mm-hmm.
Well, we're not going to pay for it. So then you call the customer and say, there's a difference in quality of the parts, and if you want to pay another $56 or $156, we can handle it. If not, we'll put the rack back in, and you can go fight with your company somewhere else.
Mm-hmm.
We're also put in the position where we need to do that.
Right.
We oftentimes have to be, come on, you guys.
We're the bad guy, yeah.
Well, we're not the bad guy. We're in the middle between the customer and the insurance company.
Yeah, no, but they want us to be the bad guy or look like the bad guy.
Now, you know that there's just a few guys in the world that have my cell phone number.
Yes.
But there's a guy named Ron that called me the other day.
Okay.
And he bought a new car.
Okay.
And he bought a warranty that starts 2 years from now. He bought a warranty that starts 2 years from now.
Okay. And he's already paying for it?
Yeah, he already paid for it. Oh, they financed it for him, so you don't have to write a monthly check. We'll just roll it into your financing. Well, he was a cash customer, so he wrote a check for it up front. Right. He calls me, he said, what do you think? I said, the horse is out of the stall. What do you mean, do I think? What difference is
too
is
that late
the right,
now.
Yeah, is that the right one thing?
I don't
What do you say that, Gil, help me with this.
I don't know.
What do you say?
2 minutes.
Huh?
2 minutes, he said.
I know he said 2 minutes.
Oh.
I'm asking his advice.
Oh.
There's something.
Yeah, it's a bad decision.
Yeah, no, but it's, that something's already left the whatever the, you know, the cows got
yeah,
out
the
or what.
The horse has already left the stable.
The horse has left the stable. That's good. Nevertheless, it's too late for that.
Right.
So he tries to unwind the deal. Now, Felix, on the other hand, did unwind the deal because
mm-hmm.
he calls me and I said, that's a dumb move. And I don't care. You work it out with your wife.
Right.
And he went back and raised hell with him and they gave him his money back. But he's tall. He's adamant, and I guess he was in the lobby, and he was raising his voice, and so that may have been a difference. All right, who we got on the phone, Gil?
We have Mark.
Mark to Mark. What can I do for you?
Good morning, Mark. Thanks for taking my call.
You bet.
I'm car shopping, and we drove a Chevy Traverse, and mm-hmm. we like it. I don't know anybody who owns one or anything about them. They have a 3.6-liter engine in them, and I'm just curious to know if you've had any experience with them.
I've had no bad experience with those. Believe me, other cars I could talk about, but that's a good thing. That's a good thing. And so if the Traverse was on my mind because it comes in and makes me look like an idiot every other day, then I would have told you that.
Mm-hmm.
Are you looking for a domestic sport utility vehicle or an import or any sport utility?
No, just a... No, three-row SUV.
Okay.
That's pretty much the summary of it.
Okay.
We've compared, looked at some minivans, but I don't know.
Okay. Well, the minivan, I can tell you 100%, the Grand Caravan from Chrysler with the doors on both sides and the captain's chairs and the rear air. And boy, that's a beautiful van. And we own one, and it's our shuttle bus.
Okay.
And we own that. Let me give you some advice, and don't tell anybody else, okay?
Okay.
I challenged my daughter. I said, you go out and get the van and just write the check for the sticker price. And she says, that's crazy, Dad. And I said, no, I want you to do that. I know that can happen. She says, well, they got tax and license and get-up fees and setup fees. And she says, you know, there's going to be all those other ads like window tint and desert protection package and white walls that never need to be dealt with. I said, I don't care what it's got, Andy. Go buy a van for the sticker. So I would say to her just about every day, how's it going, Cookie? And she says, I'll let you know. So one day she calls me. I wasn't even in town. She calls me and she says, I'm sending you a picture. And I said, is this bad news or good news? And she says, no, it's good news. I said, okay. So I wait. She sends me a picture of a brand new Chrysler van. So I call her back and I go, did you break my rule? She says, nope. I copied the check. I'm sending you that next. She says, I wrote it for the sticker. Now, I didn't buy a year-old one either.
Mm-hmm.
So
when you say the sticker price, do you mean the MSRP?
Yep, MSRP. That's whatever that number is on that sticker on the window, I'll write you a check for that. Period, period, period.
And that's out the door?
Out the door. That's sales tax, license, and all that other stuff. Well, we put desert protection package. You know what that's called? That's called mop and glow. They throw. Have you ever seen mop and glow where you just squirt it on the floor and you mop it and it glows?
Yeah. Right,
okay,
yeah.
That's what it's called in the back door of this is mop and glow, and then they put the desert protection back in the tint of the windows. You say I don't want either one of those, so even though the windows cost them, you know they're showing it's $200 or $300 to you, it's half that price to me. So
yeah.
Anyway, that's my challenge. See what happens.
Right.
Okay.
Thank you, sir.
You're welcome. 602-508-0960. 602-508-0960. Renee and I will be right back. That up, huh? Anyway, 21 minutes after the hour of 10 o'clock, I just messed up the tape machine. But anyway, I'm going to recover perfectly. 602-508-0960. Let me tell you about Blackwell Auto. Tom Blackwell and I have been friends for a long time. He is an ornery cuss. He's like me that hates the YouTube conversation. But he's better than I'll ever be on older cars, hot rods, manufacturing, design, building something, machining something, he's perfect. But he does oil changes on your regular cars and stuff. So 40th Street and Greenway, he's got ASE certified technicians. He does everything from oil changes to engine swaps on both domestic and import. And frankly, he's a really good guy. And you'll get to meet him at Blackwell Automotive, 40th Street and Greenway. Nick, good morning to you. Nick, how can I help you?
Yeah, Mark, I got a 06 Chevy Colorado four-cylinder, and the oil pan, I got 353,000 miles on it. They've stripped out the oil drain plug bolt. Have you had good luck with the inserts in them, putting them in?
Well, I'll be blunt about this. The first nine, we didn't. it was one of those things that it was just a miserable, and there's so many of them out there that are going to cause problems. And then the default is you put the rubber one in where you got this tool and you push the nipple on the rubber and if you push the tool, it goes through the hole and then you let the tool out and it swells up on the inside and all that other kind. You lose the tool and you're in really big trouble. But the answer is yes. The real question to the person that's doing this is how many times have you done this successfully? That's the question. If you're talking to a three-whiskered kid at a quick lube shop that only has three whiskers and they're on his chin, I think I'd pass. But if you're talking to a shop that's been in business for a long time and maybe the guy in front of you has gray hair or maybe the woman in front of you has been in the business for 20 years, then I'd probably go there. But yes, it's something that happens all the time. And the good news is I appreciate you to saying that you got 353K on it, because most of the time, the last guy that did the oil change is blamed for it. Now, sometimes they are, but usually if we screw up the drain plug, you're going to get a drip immediately, and everybody will know it's our fault. But 3,000, 4,000 miles later, we get a call and says, you stripped my drain plug. Nah, I'm not going to buy that.
Yeah, because it looks pretty easy on, I don't upset you, but it looks pretty easy on YouTube. But how much do you think that would cost if I took it into one of your shops?
You said YouTube. Gil, get rid of him.
Mark Reed.
I don't really know the answer to that. What you want to do is do it with an oil change, because we're going to take the drain plug out, drain the oil. We're going to create some shavings. Then we're going to dump a quart of oil in the oil pan, and then we're going to shake the car around and drain it again. So that's what it's going to be. Oftentimes, what we find successful is we just simply retap it slightly bigger and just put new threads in it and then put a nice washer on it, and that's the way we usually do it. We usually just tap it. Now, they got some tapping plugs. We work with those if that's all the options are. But if there's a tap that we can literally go in there and put new threads, and you're going to have to drill it to like 2164s, and then you're going to use a 7/16 bolt in it. So there's some technical stuff associated with that. Okay?
So you'd need the vehicle for a while then to do that, right?
Yeah, for an oil change, that's a half a day job. I mean, at our facility, you drop it off and, you know, in the morning you get it by noon. But we're by appointment only, just so we can control the volume. But yes, and it's something, if you tell them you want to wait for it at most shops, they'll let you wait for it.
Okay.
All right.
Yeah, thanks a lot.
All right, Nick,
bye-bye.
Thank you. Glenn, you're up next. How can I help you?
Thank you, Mark. Hello, Renee.
Hello.
Listen, Mark, I wanted to give you a quick thank you. And yes, I did put a little extra on the plate as it went by.
Oh, well, thank you. Thank you.
You've taught me how to communicate with my my automotively illiterate sister, and how to communicate with her mechanic. She can't describe anything without using words that you never heard of.
Just like my wife.
Not exactly.
But that's really all I had was I've gained the ability from listening to you to help her speak to her mechanic, because you really, that comes across well on your program.
Well, and I'll give you two examples of that. Is this a guess or a fix? Because if you're guessing, and at the end of the day, you call me and say, oh, well, you know, it needed this, but we found this wrong, too. I'm not buying that. So if it's a guess, I want to know who's paying for it right now, and I can tell you the answer is not me. So if it's a fix, look me in the eye and say, it's a fix. Number two, where in my owner's manual does it say that you need to pull the rear view mirror off, stick it in a magic potion, and put it back on the windshield. And I'm, of course, I'm exaggerating, but where in my owner's manual does it say that I need to flush my tailpipe and I need to flush my injectors and I need to do all that? Tell me where it says that. So those are the two big popular ones. And you can always, the women can blame it on their husband. I'm sorry, but my husband is such a jerk. But he wants you to dog-ear the page in my owner's manual where it shows, you know, I've been married to him for a long time. He hit his head so many times, but can you just help me out?
That's true in my case, but no. But he's saying, too, how to describe a problem or if it's a shake or a vibration or a pull or something
yep,
like
the
that, I
seat
think.
Of your pants, yeah. The steering wheel. Mm-hmm. If he helps his sister that way, he's saving his sister. If it's a $300 or $400 bill, he's saving his sister $25 to $50.
Yep.
If she exactly. can describe it perfectly, or give me your technician, and I'll take him for a ride. I promise I won't have him very long, but I'm going to take him for a ride, teach him how to do it, come back, and I'm gone. Mm-hmm. That's
I just told her that one yesterday, but I got another favorite one I used on her yesterday was how you look at. We can't find what you're describing. Just wait for it to get worse, and then we'll find it easier.
Yeah, mm-hmm. yeah. yeah. You only have
she
two.
She loved that one.
yeah.
You have two choices. I can guess, but we're guessing with your money. mm-hmm. We're guessing with my gray matter, but we're using your money. Or we wait till it gets worse and easier to find. So that's yep. great. Thank you very much. Thank you very
Thank
much,
you.
Glenn. You betcha. I'm going to write down compliment.
Oh, yeah.
Because I don't get to do that very
I
often.
Know,
Automatic
true.
Transmission Exchange is a good repair shop. If you live in Phoenix and you got transmission problems, may I suggest you go there. Phil's been around since 1968. He understands the fundamentals and operations of the transmission, where years ago we used vacuum to shift it, and we used throttle, and we used pressure. Today we use electronics, and it's a whole bunch better. But he can handle the Fred Flintstone ones all the way to the Microsoft and Apple ones. He can handle all that. 40th Street in Washington, Automatic Transmission Exchange. We affectionately call it ATE. And if you can make it happen, he'll let you borrow one of his techs, or he'll go with you, and you can show him what the heck is going on. Mm-hmm. All righty.
And, yeah, you have a good list of all the people that you do recommend on your website, yep. too. Best car repair shops.
Yep, MarkSalem.com. Mark Salem, Salem like I said, Salem like the cigarette the other day to a young lady, and she goes, "What?"
Yeah.
And I've been saying Salem like the cigarette mm-hmm. since I was 10 years old.
Yeah.
And so
you're
I'm gonna,
old, so they don't know what those are. I don't think they even make them anymore.
I'm old. You're 5 years older than I am. Uh huh. How long have you been married?
Me?
Yeah.
Too long.
How long have you been married?
45 years.
I know. Me, 40. I'll tell you what.
Yeah.
It's a son of a gun. 602-508-0960. If you have a car question, you can give us a call, and we'll do our best to guide you. Or sometimes I'm lucky, and if you're good enough with the symptoms, I'm good enough to tell you what it might be. But then again, I'm shooting from the hip. And I'm doing what I tell other people not to do, and that's guess. But it depends on it's information in and information out, and it's as I'm as good as your description. And if you mentioned the word YouTube, I'm telling you what, I'm going to hang up on you the very minute you say YouTube, and I know I'm looking at the clock. Thirty-four minutes after the hour of 10 o'clock, Mark Salem sitting here with his wife, my wife, Renee, and we're at your service, 602-508-0960. I do have the list of the best auto repair shops in Phoenix. It's at MarkSalem.com. I'll tell you about one of them real quick. Larry Harker's Auto Repair has been in business since 1967. Bob and Ellen own and operate Larry Harker's Auto. Auto electrical work, brake service, auto emissions, vehicle maintenance, oil changes, and... when I turn right, it sounds like a rooster's behind the glove box. Bob is a really good diagnostician. I truly believe he's better than I am. And I'm not the best in the world, but as far as I'm concerned, he's one of the best in the valley. He just has the tenacity and the fundamental knowledge to just chase it down, where me, I'd rather buy your car if I can't fix it. Nevertheless, that's Harker's Automotive, 38th Avenue and Indian School. Julie, good morning to you.
Good morning. I heard you mention the Traverse before, so I thought I'll just give this a whirl. I'm looking for a new vehicle to replace my 2007 Trailblazer, and I am just more confused than ever. I've tried a Toyota 4Runner, a Chevy Traverse, and a Subaru Ascent. And I can't, I am just like dumbfounded as to what really is the best deal.
You called the right guy. You called the right guy. First of all, the Subaru, okay? If I don't have anything nice to say, I don't say nothing.
I got that reaction at home.
Oh, the Subaru is a one percenter. First of all, you should live in Seattle or along the West Coast if you're going to drive a Subaru. And that's like driving a Mercedes. I mean, but it's also a very intensive car with respect to maintenance. And everything is a lot more money in labor than everybody else is. But the Traverse would be second, and the 4Runner would be first. That's what I would say from this point of view.
I'm glad to hear you say that because that was my gut feeling. But
yeah,
you know, it's like I've never owned anything but a Chevy. So all of a sudden I'm going, wow, I really like this.
No, Toyota was a piece of junk back in the 80s when they started trying to. In the 80s, everybody was using one of two things to make your car work. The American guys were using electricity. And you know how fast the light bulb turns on when you turn on the switch. The import cars decided to use vacuum. That's why when you opened up the hood, there was a half a mile of vacuum hose in there, and we were doing vacuum to make things happen. Well, here's vacuum. Like that. It's an inhale. So, but we've changed. But of those ones, I've been a GM guy for a long time and a Dodge guy, but I'm telling you, the 4Runner is the best of the offers you gave me. Okay?
Okay.
All right.
Great. Thank you so much.
Oh, you're no problem. Tim, good morning to you. How can we help you?
Yes, I have a 2014 Nissan Maxima.
Okay.
Okay, and I have a problem with it dying out. Like, it'll start, and then I go to put it in drive and start moving, and it just done.
Okay.
Just shuts down.
All right.
Like, power, everything.
Okay, let me ask you a couple questions. So when you say all power, you're talking about the radio goes dead, the dashboard goes dead?
Oh, no, I lose everything, like lights, everything.
Okay, but is that because the engine died? Does the engine die? Is that what you're saying? You lose power because the engine died?
The engine, well, the car, the engine dies. It just stops.
Okay, now if the radio's on, it still plays?
No.
Okay.
Nothing plays.
Okay, every time...
2 minutes.
Wow, this is a complete meltdown in the electrical system.
I mean, I've jumped the battery because the battery was dead.
Okay.
So I jumped the battery. It started. I backed it out, put it in drive, got ready to go, and it just...
Okay. All right. Nothing. Well, if you are having a major meltdown of the electrical systems, and certainly starting at the battery cables is the appropriate place to start. You're describing a problem I've never seen before. Even if you jump start it and the battery is completely defective, even if you jump start it, the minute you pull the cables off, you're dead. So I'm going to eliminate battery. At least the battery could be marginally after it's tested, or it could be really.
Well, I mean, it'll run after I pull the battery cables off. But
I know that. That's what you said. I listened to what you said. I listened.
Oh, okay.
So you put it in reverse, you backed up, you put it in drive, and it died then. So
right.
I don't know. I don't think that this is going to be one of those things that's going to it costs you $85, $115 to find it and a buck to fix it. I'm not guaranteeing you that's what you're going to get, but this is what it sounds like to me. We've got a bad connection somewhere, but it's going to be a major connection, and it's going to be one of the two or three connections away from the battery post. So we have a major meltdown here. So once we lose that, we're losing the ignition.
It wouldn't be my alternator at all, would it?
No.
No?
No. Why would the alternator charge the battery enough to let you start it the next morning? Then by the time you back out of the driveway and put it in drive, it dies. If the alternator is bad, then the battery would have been dead when you parked it. So the answer is no. I mean, I am as sure as I am that my wife's not going to shoot me today that it's not the alternator. So, just you're going to spend $25 to $50 to have somebody at least look at it, and if you have to go further into the diagnosis arena, then it's going to be more money. But you know, I don't know that you have you're not talking about fuel, you're not talking about air, you are giving me something that frankly I've never seen before. I've never seen a car. You say the radio. If it was night, the headlights. The whole car goes dark. The engine dies, and the whole car goes dark. Like I said, if I had to bet, I'd bet $10 that it's at the cables. It, no matter how good they look to you, it's at the cables. And if it's running, and you can get it to run, pop the hood and touch the cables quickly with your hand. If one of them's hot, then that's the one that's causing the problem. I got to run, but 602-508-0960, 602-508-0960. And by the way, the Maxima is one of the cars that has 4,000 wires and cables that are coming from the battery post. Everybody picks it downstream. Everybody will pick up power downstream. So I'm even more certain that he's got a Nissan Toyota or Nissan Maxima, bad connection at the battery cable, probably the positive side. We'll be back in a minute. Well, it's 44 minutes past the hour of 10 o'clock, and I have good news for all my listeners. If Tim's still there, I can fix his car over the radio. I am 99% sure I know what's wrong with Tim's car. 99%. By the way, 602-508-0960 is the phone number.
Why, who texted you and told you?
That's good. That's good. Boy, you're going to be in trouble when we get off this air. Okay, now listen.
What?
Listen. He loses all power.
Okay.
Okay, all power. And then he hooked jumper cables up to it. He disturbed the connection when he hooked the jumper cables up to it.
Okay.
He disturbed it. Now, this is how he diagnoses it for free. He opens the door and he leaves the key on. Nothing is happening, right?
Okay.
As he wiggles the wires within 12 inches of the positive battery cable,
mm-hmm.
he's going to hear the door ding and he's going to hear the car come alive. Now, if I were him, I'd turn up the radio real loud, then he'd know for sure. Once he touches that connection and he hears the radio blast,
mm-hmm.
He's got it, doesn't he?
Okay, but he said it died before he ever jump-started it, too.
But he said he jump-started it, then it started, then he backed out. When he put it in drive, it died again.
Right.
But I think the reason why it jump-started is because people put the jumper cables on, and he probably wiggled them to make sure that the jaws have got a good bite.
Oh, you said after it died the first time, you're saying that.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. Well, the second time or the third time, it doesn't really make any difference.
Okay,
but
I got it.
He loses all power. And that's the key. I am 99% sure.
I just want to know.
Oh, go ahead. Here. Go ahead. Nobody called me.
I'm just
Nobody
teasing.
Called me. Most of my friends are not technicians, with the exception of Eddie.
I know.
And they only call
you'll
me.
Sometimes you'll have people tell, or transmission issue. You'll
now,
have
who's going to call my cell phone? It's the most private number in my world.
You have a lot of people.
I have a lot of people that I call out, but it's *67 before I do that.
Okay.
All righty. Strictly Diesel. Nate is a good guy. He's up at I-17 and Pinnacle Peak Road. He used to be in North Scottsdale. Nate is a professional, an expert when it comes to Chevy, Ford, Dodge, foreign and domestic light diesel trucks. He has a wide range of services, from oil changes to cold air kits to all kinds of stuff that will make your diesel run and last longer. So Nate has everything, the maintenance and the service, as well as the enhancement part of it, or you can call it the performance side of it. So if you have a diesel and nobody else can fix it, then he's a Better Business Bureau A-plus rated shop, and that's Strictly Diesel Service and Repair, I-17 and Pinnacle Peak Road.
Mm-hmm.
Did I do that okay to your satisfaction? 602-508-0960, 602-508-0960. That's the phone number if you want to give us a call and if you want to let us know a car question. I do boats. I do motorcycles. I am a good marriage counselor.
You have opinion just about everything. You tell people how to fix just about anything.
I know, but we're,
whether
I
they
do
want to know or not.
I guess. I think it's, you know what, if they don't want to, then they can put their hands over their ears.
I would have done it this way, you always say.
I'm trying to be nice. They say, I went to YouTube or Google, and I did this, and then I replaced this, and I did this. And
why don't you start your own Google? Ask Mark.
No. No, I've done that. I've been doing this radio show, as you well know, since 1988. I've answered enough questions in my life.
I know.
And just the other day, I was at a gas station.
Yes.
And the guy walks up to me. He's a gray-haired guy. And he goes, "You're Mark Salem." And I said, "Well, it depends." And he goes, "Depends on what?" And I said, "If you don't like Mark Salem, I'm his evil twin brother that just got out of prison for murder." And if you like Mark Salem, yes, how can I help you? He started laughing. He goes, I recognize you from your voice. This was in Payson.
No.
And he goes, I used to listen to you on television. And he says, I always like it, but I recognize your voice. Now, how many times have you been with me when someone's recognized my voice?
A lot.
A lot.
Yes.
Okay, there's someone on the phone, according to Gil.
Okay.
Gil, may I have the name?
That would be Jim.
Jim. Hey, Tim, if I fix your car, I want you to call back. You don't have to use your real name. And just slap me on the back and tell me what a great diagnostician. But what's really key is how well he described the problem.
Okay.
All righty. Jim, good morning to you. How can I help you?
Good morning. Yeah. I have another car with electrical problem. It's my daughter's car. It's a 2009 Chevy Tahoe. She just got it a couple months ago. It has about 35,000 miles on it.
Ooh.
What it's doing is driving down the road, all of a sudden the locks will start going up and down automatically, and the gauges will go berserk. And when you go park it, come out to restart, as if the battery's dead. So what my son-in-law did, he took the cables off the battery, connected them together, put them back on, and the Tahoe starts right back up.
Okay.
And they took it back to the dealership. They said, well, it could be the cable. We could replace the cable and something else for $1,200. He said, and they said, that might fix it. And they said the warranty company will not cover it.
Yeah, of course they won't. Well, I don't think we have enough information just yet. I'm thinking out loud here. The door lock's going up and down when you're driving down the road. The gauge is fluctuating. Let's take the door locks first. The door locks sound like a bad button on one of the doors, and it's saying, and it's probably one of the front doors where you open the door and it automatically unlocks. Well, there's a switch that turns on the dome light as well as unlocks that particular door. But then he's got a fluctuation with the gauges, and the gauges don't need much electricity.
Mm-hmm.
So the gauges going back and forth are kind of suspect, but that's not a big one. Then it doesn't start.
Mm-hmm.
But then when he tries to start it, it just goes click, click, click. Did I regurgitate that right, Jim?
It doesn't really click at all. It just does nothing.
Okay.
But when you disconnect battery cables, touch them together, put them back on, it starts right up.
Okay, now what he did there, let me explain that. You take both cables off the battery is the key here. And you touch them together. It's like a boot of your computer. It's like disconnecting the wall plug and shutting it down, walking away, watch your wife drink a bottle of wine, come back, plug it into the wall, and turn it back on. That's what it is. And that's probably not going to fix anything. That fixes really weird problems, and typically it has to do with what we call a reboot.
Mm-hmm.
So I don't think that has anything to do with it.
And sometimes we see the alternator.
No, that just...
Yeah,
they can get it going that way.
Yeah,
they get it going again.
Well, what I'm concerned about is forget the fact that. Well, keep in mind he gets to start, but why can't it be the battery cables? And I don't know what he does for a living, but it takes a real experienced person to look at the battery terminal and look at the battery post and understand. You also said it's a GM. There is a secret about how those cables corrode. And I'm not going to tell you what it is, but I'm going to tell you what it is, okay? It's a side post battery, and it has a 5/16 thread on it, okay, or a nut on it. So you're going to start with the negative cable, and you're going to unscrew that from the battery. Then you're going to take a pair of vice grips and grab the hex head and pull the bolt out. Now, the back side of the bolt hits the front side of the cable, and I'll bet you those are dirtier than hell.
Actually, it's a top mount.
Oh, well, you should.
It
shouldn't have a top mount if it's a 09 Chevy Tahoe. That's a side mount.
Yeah, it's a top mount, and the battery's like way back by the firewall.
Okay. Is this a diesel or something?
No.
Okay. I don't know. Could it be between the radiator and the windshield on the driver's side?
Nope.
Okay.
Oh, yeah, I'm just saying the battery itself really pretty much sits against the firewall.
Okay, well, I'm at a loss, but I still think it's a battery problem. I haven't changed my mind. It's a voltage problem because we got fluctuating gauges, and so we're down in the dumps here. We're below 9 volts. So, and the fact that he takes it off and touches, I'm telling you what, you can touch that thing 20 times and swing a dead chicken around your head. It's not going to make any difference. That's not what you got here. So, I mean, I don't know, but I think it's a battery connection. That's what I think it is. So, it's really not hard to test it. I think most shops would test that electrical system for $25 to $45, tell you the alternator output, tell you shorts and draws, tell you what the battery CCA is, tell you if it passes the load test, all that kind of stuff. But it sounds like that if all he's doing is pulling them off, touching them, and putting them back on, it sounds like a bad connection at the battery. But, you know, I've been wrong before. That's the best I can do, buddy. Good luck to you. Thank you very much. That's an 09 Tahoe, 35,000 miles. That's a 10-year-old car with 35,000 miles on it.
That's pretty crazy.
That's pretty crazy, isn't it?
Now, sometimes alternators will do that. It'll give you weird symptoms, so I wonder if the alternator is draining it down or it's not good.
He'd have, first of all, the ignition system needs 9 or 10 volts. So, you know, the battery fully charges 13 volts.
Right.
Okay? So we want it to be about, the alternator is going to bring it up from 12.2, 12.3 up to 13. Mm-hmm. So we're going to see an increase the minute you start the vehicle. Mm-hmm. If you run out of alternator, then it's going to be just a slow progression
slow
of
start.
It's going to get worse and worse and worse and worse, and then pretty soon when you hit the key, it just flutters, but you'll never get it started. Even if you jump start, most of the times you won't be able to jump start it.
Okay.
So I mean, there's and usually we don't get those kinds of symptoms that he's describing. But anyway, we've got somebody else on the line. Who would that be?
That would be Gary.
Gary, good morning. How can I help you?
Good morning. I have a 2008 Nissan Titan, and I constantly get a lot of warning lights on my console.
Mm-hmm.
For example, one of them says brake, one of them says slip, the other one says low tire. And I know I don't have low tires.
You checked them all, yes?
Yeah.
And what kind of pressure did they have, and what does the sticker on the door say they should have?
Oh, I don't recall.
Okay, that's okay. There's a door sticker on your driver's door that tells you the inflation of the tires, and so you want to make sure that that's what it is.
Yeah.
I think you have a bad wheel sensor. I think you have a bad wheel sensor because that would cause a brake. Is it a red brake light or an orange brake light?
Red.
Okay, that means that's bad. Mm-hmm. You're not supposed to drive it when it's red. So you need to decide what you're going to do. And you said something else. I didn't catch the second thing you said.
Second kind of light. We didn't understand that.
The light says flip.
Flip.
Is
slip?
Yep.
Okay, it's F-L-I-P?
Right.
I've never seen that before, but I'm quite sure. Have you ever seen the guy on the toilet?
Yes, I have.
Have you?
Yes.
It's a minus 4, okay? And it's telling you the outside temperature is a minus 4. But the minus mark looks like a toilet paper, and the 4 looks like there's a guy sitting on the crapper. And it looks as real as, I mean, it's on the internet. But I don't know what to tell you. I think what needs to happen is we need to deal with the TPMS and the TPMS tire pressure monitoring system. And I think that there's a good chance that one of the wheels sensor is causing that tire to, the sensor said it's rotating at 5 and all the rest of them are rotating at 10. That's kind of how it works. Then you've got, I don't know what the flip light is, but as far as the other thing, you're talking about what else was the other light? Was there a third light?
The brake.
And that red one, that bothers me. So I'm a little concerned that this is a safety issue. So if you can get to your garage and it's a block away and you got plan B in case the brakes stop working, which is downshift or throw it into park or something, then that's what you have to do. But I'm quite sure this is something that's going to be easy to fix. But that light on the dash, that concerns me. So look in your owner's manual, and if you find out it says something different, then call me back. Anyway, we've got open lines, 602-508-0960, 602-508-0960. We do anything about cars and trucks and motorhomes and all that kind of stuff. We're not doing any political stuff. Okay, we're not going to do any political stuff.
Who brought that up?
I'm about to. Just be quiet.
Nobody said anything.
We saw something in this morning on the news that they're going to do away with $1 trillion worth of debt for the kids that went to college. $1 trillion worth of debt. That's about how much you make, isn't it?
Yeah.
Okay. It just, I don't know, that wadded up my underwear. We'll be back right after this. Well, welcome back, everybody. 4 minutes after the hour, 11 o'clock. Mark Salem, my wife, sitting here next to me. We've been working on cars together since 1979. She actually has been handling the money and the paperwork and most of the staff, where I've been out in the trenches getting my hands dirty and stuff like that.
Oh, that's been years.
Okay, under the hood with Action Auto Repair, I-17 in Deer Valley, northwest corner. Tom, I've known him since the early 80s. He has his own shop. He's been around since 1983. He's a good guy. He's the kind of guy that I would let date my daughter, but I may not let her date him because she's mean. So, you know, she's just mean, and Tom is such a nice guy. Nevertheless, he has ASC certified technicians. He does a good job in listening and asking questions for the symptoms. Then he does a good job in the diagnosis. Then he bids the repair, and he always comes in under the repair. So that's a good shop, I-17 and Deer Valley, northwest corner. He's a good guy. Let's go to the phones. We have two lines open, 602-508-0960. Cap, you're up first. How can I help you?
I have a 2006 Chevy Tahoe, and the top or the overhead where you sit, there's like a felt on a that's glued to foam, I guess.
Yeah.
And basically, it's you know, an older car, so it's starting to peel off, for the lack of a better term, in certain areas. And I was just wondering if there's any glue that I could get to help it stay and not have to get a whole new top or inside top.
It's called a headliner. And
that's the word I was looking for.
Yeah, that's okay. That's okay. I forget words all the time. That's why my wife is here. Oh, that was kind of a sick. the answer to your question is how are you going to get the glue behind the headliner?
Well, no, you can. It's coming off, so you could just put some glue on the foam, and then you could press the material against the foam, and you would. Does that make sense?
Yeah, no, it does. But most of the time, it's a bubble. Okay, it comes down and it's just a bubble. There's no way to get behind it.
Oh no, this is peeling on the edges, like hanging down on the edges.
Yeah, that's no problem. You don't want to go crazy with the glue, but I'd go get a can of 3M spray glue, and I'd drop it down. I'd go like you're painting. And I would paint both the soft part of the headliner, and then I would paint the cardboard behind it. But just easy. Psst, psst, not like this. Because you're going to have a mess. And also cover up all the stuff below it, because there's going to be some glue that's going to end up on the seat or on the dashboard or whatever. You don't want that. So grab one of the sheets off your bed, spread it all over the inside, and then spray that glue. But I use 3M. Glue, and I'm pretty happy with it. Now, you could also buy another headliner, but you could also take it to an upholstery shop and have them do something, you know, kind of funky for you. But I think glue is the first place you start. Okay.
Well, just any 3M spray will work. It's not special spray for cars or anything.
Oh no. There's no special spray for car. If you walk into an upholstery shop, he's going to have spray glue. I like 3M, but no, there's nothing special about that. Nothing.
Okay. I thought maybe because it was foam and whatever that thin layer is, that there might be something special you need to make it stick.
No, that's why I'm telling you not to paint the heck out of it, because when you stuff the headliner back up there, that glue's going to come through the felt or whatever you want to call it, the cloth, and it's going to look pretty bad. So that's why I'm saying just don't pay. And you don't want any glue that's going to expand, because you put it up there and you put a and then all of a sudden you got a big drip that's 3 inches deep because the glue you used swelled up. So
I think he's asking, is it like 3M spray glue? Or?
It's branded 3M.
Okay.
Okay, and it's spray glue.
Okay.
And so he can go to Walmart, or, you know, he can get on the internet, and once he finds out what the can looks like, then he can call around and say, hey, have you got this J3472 hike? And they can do it. But anyway, thanks, Cap. Thank you very much. I don't think I've ever had a headliner question before. John, you're up next. How can I help you?
Yeah, hi. We have a 2009 Tahoe, and we had exactly the same problem that that guy that called in earlier. And we had the door locks going up and down, and the gauges going crazy, and then they, then it would stop. You'd coast to the side of the road, and you'd wait a few minutes, and then go to start it, and you could sometimes you could get it started again.
Okay.
But anyway, we got it analyzed, and it turned out to be a bad ground wire to the battery. Plus, what they did was they replaced the main positive side through that high amp fuse, and then down to the starter. That's been all replaced. Plus, the ground wire was replaced.
Okay. No, and, that's a great
thing. Since that, it fixed everything.
Okay.
There was just some bad connections.
Okay.
So, you know, from the main power supply.
All right.
And that was causing the computer to go crazy and start opening and closing the door locks and the gauges going nuts.
All right. Well, let me just, for the rest of them listening, let me make a recommendation. When you take it in and they say it's got a bad ground loop, you have them fix that. And then they say, well, you need the other side of the electrical circuit, and we got to replace the positive that goes through the fuse panel, and then from the fuse panel it goes to the solenoid and all that kind of stuff. And my advice is you say, you know what, let's just do one thing at a time. Let's get the no start condition taken care of. Why don't you write on the ticket what your estimate is and what the parts are and the labor is. So I'm not going to shop you, but just write it down so that I know what I'm faced with. Let's just fix the car first, because if they call you back and say, oh, no, it's a positive cable, you're going to be doggone glad that you didn't do the negative cable. So all I'm saying is it's in customer's best interest to just deal with that. The problem with the rest of it is, John, is there is this upsell mentality. So it's kind of like, well, you bought one tire. You need to have all three of them. Well, if we do the rear brakes, we ought to do all of them, because the fronts are the same age as the rear. If we do one fan belt, we got to do them all. If we do one taillight bulb, let's do three on each side. That's what's best for you. No, it isn't. That's what's best for me. So there's this tie going on where, you know, if the negative was bad and you got 110,000 miles, then the positive isn't that far behind it. That's just flat bull excrement. That's all that is. So, but I'm not beating up your shop because they did fix your car. I'm suggesting that the customer just, let's just fix the car, and then once you do that, I'll have more faith in your ability to diagnose problems with my car. That's kind of how it works. But anyway,
yeah, well, I looked at the ground wire to the battery, and the insulation was starting to peel back from the It looked pretty corroded. You know, the insulation was peeling back from where
it
hooks to the top of the battery. And the battery is on the firewall, and it does have top posts on that your Tahoe.
All right. So, thank you for that. I've been wrong
top
before.
Post, but the guy was,
anyway, they did the positive, too. Now, you said, it might not have needed it, but
let me ask you a question. On the negative side of the cable, was it on the battery side, or was where the negative went to the engine or to the firewall or to the core support or the frame? Which end of the negative cable was bad?
The one at the battery.
Oh, okay.
But I didn't really get under the car and look to see if the one by the frame, you know, or the ground wire from the engine to the frame and all that. I didn't check all the grounds, just the one at the battery.
You don't even have the ability to check the grounds. I'm just telling you, we don't do it the way you did it. We use electronics. We're checking a volt drop. We're using amp meters. We're going to follow the cable and all the way the connections. And on this connection, it's fine. This one, it's not. And the one after it is. So that connection's bad. It's got a resistance on it. He's got all that kind of stuff on it. What this is, he's saying pretty much what I'm saying, and that's he had a disconnection and a problem at the battery. Mm-hmm. God forbid I got the location wrong. God forbid I thought it was a side post. But what he's saying is pretty much what I said.
Okay.
But thank you for calling. I appreciate that, John. Tom, you're up next. How can I help you?
Yes. I have an 02 Windstar, and my cruise control is working intermittently.
Okay. I can help you with that, I think. First thing I want you to do is I want you to hook your left foot. Well, first of all, I want to ask you, how long before you bought the Windstar did you hit your head?
2 minutes.
Okay. Oh, no. The answer is my wife bought it. That's the answer. Okay? I'm just telling you.
Okay.
All right. Number two, I want you to hook your foot underneath the brake pedal, your left foot, and pull the brake pedal towards you. Okay? And then, okay, how are we looking? Does that make any difference? Now, the other thing I want you to do is once you get it into cruise control, I want to know how much brake pedal pressure you have to push in order to cancel it. Is it like the weight of a feather, or am I moving the pedal an eighth of an inch or a quarter of an inch? Because a lot of times the cruise control will fall out because this brake switch on the top of the pedal is wiggling. And it's not as if your Windstar was born yesterday. So if you do that and you walk into a shop and you say, hey, cruise control, I set it, I put my left foot underneath the brake pedal, and I pull it towards me, and it's perfect. The minute I let go of that pedal, boom, the cruise control goes away. And I think it's my wife's fault, and if it is, then you figure out what it is. But if you come in with that, you just saved yourself $50, $75 worth of diagnosis. If you come in with that.
So what's the solution? Is there an adjustment on the switch? Is it the same as the brake switch?
It is the brake switch. It is the brake switch. So if you know how to adjust it, and most people break them, but usually the threads slide. Usually. So, a guy like me would get underneath there, and we'd look at the button, and we'd look at the pedal, and we'd have somebody at the back of the truck, or the Windstar, and I'll push the pedal, but I'm watching the switch, I'm listening for the click, but the guy in the back, I barely push it, boom, and he goes, lights on. And so I go, barely touched the pedal, or I push the pedal and I push it a little bit more, and then he goes, the lights are on. That's how it works. It's real simple.
Okay, so it's canceling it out.
Yes.
Second question.
1 minute.
Why is there an on-off switch on cruise control?
I think it's a secondary way to cancel the cruise control just in case you hit the brake and it doesn't stop the cruise control. I think the off switch would be the next thing. I think that's if you're
curious, why they even have a switch? Why not just push it on, push it off?
Well,
set it and not set.
I think we need the brake pedal in there as well. We need the brake pedal because that's going to cancel it. If you're driving down the road and my wife pulls out in front of you, you're not going to have time to digest that you need to look over to the left and push the off button. You're going to be worried about them seat covers where they're at and your foot's hammering the brake so that you don't hit her. So I'm going to defend him in saying it's okay to have an on switch, and I firmly believe I'm right that's the secondary thing, but the brake pedal is the more. And there's no harm when you're not using the cruise control. There's no additional electrical use or anything like that at all. So the cruise control switch can be on 24/7, and there's no one's going to care. So most people usually leave it on. But anyway, I got to run, but thank you very much, Tom. That's a good question. Mm-hmm. 602-508-0960, 602-508-0960. The lines are wide open, so you've got a 1 in 5 chance of grabbing one, and we'll have another 9 minutes on the other side of this break, and then we're going to have another 10 or 12 minutes on the other side of the break, so we got a lot of time. We're going to be here till noon anyway, so 602-508-0960. Well, it's 21 minutes after the hour of 11 o'clock. We've got 4 lines out of 5 open, 602-508-0960. If you'd like to call us, you can get in, and we'll take your call and discuss your problem. But I first have a universal beep, 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 beep for Cap. Remember Cap, the headliner guy?
Mm-hmm.
Renee, my wife, who I'm going to divorce quickly, went to YouTube, and she found out that
I didn't go to YouTube.
She found a 3M headliner and fabric adhesive. We're talking bingo there.
Yeah, it's a spray, like
and
you were talking about.
It's $15.88 at Walmart. Cap, are you listening to me? Mark the cap, mark the cap. It's 3M headliner and fabric adhesive, $15.88 at your local Walmart store.
Yeah, they had some for foam, but I just went under 3M spray glue and
you are a
can
wizard.
Find it.
If I ever see your phone with history on YouTube, we're done.
I know. I would never go to YouTube.
All right. I already talked. Auto Dynamics is in Sun City. Hey, Bob, you stay right there. I'm about 15 seconds away from you. They're a good shop. They've been around since 1982. They're on our list of best car repair shops. You can find that list at marksalem.com. Auto Dynamics has great staff, mechanics, and they're not paid a commission or a percentage of your repair bill. Therefore, they don't have
the motivation to sell you unnecessary parts or repairs. So if you live in Sun City, the only shop I can recommend in Sun City is Auto Dynamics, north side of Grand, just west of 99th Avenue. All righty, Bob, you're up. How can I help you?
Well, first off, I enjoy your show. I learn a lot.
Thank you.
And I'm also dealing with a headliner issue. Problem is, up near the front of the car, near the mirror where it separates, up by the front windshield, the outer seal is, it's bagging. It's hanging down, basically, on both sides of that mirror.
Mm-hmm.
When I look at the foam underneath it that's on the roof,
mm-hmm.
that seems to be the biggest problem. The adhesive works well on the fabric, but when I look at that foam, I guess, or whatever the insulation is, you can feel it's really flaky and drying out. And the sealer only works for a day or two. And then I think because of the deterioration on the roof, mm-hmm. on the inside, I
yep.
think that's just turning the dust. So I can't get anything to really work and hold it in place.
Okay.
Is there any solution for that?
You know, I don't know what there would be. I think what I would do is I would Google upholstery shops in your zip code. Did we lose?
Sure.
Okay, there you go. And I would then drop by, and I would handle it this way, considering I know how shop owners feel. I've got this problem, and I'm hoping you can help me with it. I'm hoping you can be my hero. When you open up the conversation like that, or I talked to two neighbors and they both said you are a well-known good guy. I mean, that just opens
sure.
the door for cooperation, because if I can go out there and tell you I can fix this and then I do it and you say, how much do I owe you? And I said, no, that's okay. Thank you for all your compliments. That's what sometimes happens. Not around me it doesn't, because I'm just kidding you. But I would take it to a local upholstery shop and just say, other than ripping the whole headliner off it, do I have any other options?
And that's what I'm looking for.
Yeah, what part of town do you live in?
I'm in North Central Phoenix.
Okay. I don't have anybody in North Central Phoenix, but I'd call Tom Blackwell at Blackwell Auto. He's up in that area. I'd call 25th Street Auto, talk to Billy. And then there's also Martin's Auto,
mm-hmm.
and those guys are all Central and North Phoenix, and I think I'd call all three of them and just say, do you have an upholstery shop that you use? It's not like there's going to be one on every corner like Circle K, so I think you'll have a good shot at that. Okay?
Thank you much for your advice.
You're welcome.
I know it's going to continue, so
yeah.
Don't know how to fix it, and I don't want to have to do the whole headliner because it's an older car. But
yeah.
Anyway, thank you.
Hey, no, Bob, one more question. Has your wife offered any suggestions?
No.
Oh, okay. And she's sitting right next to you, right? She's probably right there.
But that's all good.
Okay. All righty. Thank you. At least I can tease them. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
I mean, you tell me. And you know, I want to talk about something. You know that ad? I just love it where the lady goes, why are your pants on your head?
Right.
Okay. We've been married a long time, but you got to remember Cliff's retirement party. Do you remember that?
I think you're talking about Eric.
Eric's, that's right. It's Eric's retirement party, but Cliff and Leslie were there along with you and I.
Right.
And Jeff was there. So mm-hmm. the four musketeers, all of us were Scottsdale policemen.
Mm-hmm.
Eric retired, Jeff retired, and Cliff retired, but Mark didn't. Mark went into automotive about 10 years after he became a policeman. So anyway, why are your pants on your head has everything to do with that night.
Okay.
And I'm going to just share with them a view from the sky.
You're stuttering.
I know. I'm trying to clean this up.
Yeah.
First of all, you drove home.
Yes.
Okay. Second of all, we made numerous stops on the way home in alleys and in parking lots on the way home.
Go ahead.
Yes?
Okay.
And when we got home, the thing I remember the most, and you remember this too, is I entered the front of the house via the front door,
mm-hmm.
and as I was going to go upstairs to our bedroom, our one daughter is standing at the head of the stairs in her robe,
mm-hmm.
and she's got her hands on her hips,
mm-hmm.
and there's at least a 10 or 15 year difference between the two of our ages. And I remember
your daughter?
Yeah.
Probably a 25 year, but go ahead. 15? You would have had her when you were 15? I don't think
so. No. My date of birth and her date of birth.
Okay. Yeah.
All right. We'll fight about this later. Anyway, she's standing at the stop at the top of the stairs with her hands on her hips. You've told that story 100 times.
Yes.
Allison.
All right.
And she's looking, and obviously we've talked to the kids about drinking and driving, and they knew you had driven home mm-hmm. and stuff like that. But do you remember that?
Yes, I do remember that. That's not where I thought you were going with that story, but I... Anyway.
You're not supposed to second guess me on this. Just go with, I'm not going to lead you down a dark hole where we both get into trouble.
Oh, you have before.
That's insignificant.
Yes.
That's insignificant. I won't talk about the times that you hung your head out the window and called for Ralph, my brother, on the way home. I'm not going to talk about
Mark,
that.
Mark, we don't even drink that much. Let's
I know.
It.
This was young when we were young whippersnappers.
Yes.
602-508-09. I'm not interested about any stories about your wife. I'm interested in car repair problems. And perhaps maybe you took your car in and you asked them for an oil change and they came back with a big laundry list of things. And let's talk symptoms. Let's talk time frames. Let's talk mileage. And here's why. Here's the bottom line. The newer model cars have a maintenance schedule that basically starts in the tall 100,000 mile range. So 70, 80, and 90,000 is where we do a lot of maintenance. The older cars, we used to do 30s, 60s, and 90s. So now that we have these cars that go 70, 80, 90,000 miles without nothing but oil changes and tire rotations, all of a sudden the dynamics of income and sales have dropped. As a result of that, my industry has decided to create all these new things. You know, we're going to flush your horn, and we're going to rearrange your headliner, and we're going to make sure your trunk is airtight and all that other kind of stuff. You have to beware of those. You have to look them in the eye and say, let's just do what I wanted to do, write down what I need, and I'll discuss it with my spouse. See, they aren't going to write it down if it's a bunch of crap. They're not going to write it down and sign their name to it. And they're talking about all these funky things that they've come up with, all these fluids and stuff. So, anyway, that's my take. 602-508-0960. I'm Mark Salem. We'll be back. Minutes after the hour of 11 o'clock. My name's Mark Salem. Sitting next to me is a woman that I've never seen before, but she's helping me keep... You're actually trying to keep me in line, but it ain't working very well. Thompson's Auto Repairs in Mesa, it's the only shop in Mesa that I've been able to thoroughly examine and assure you that they do a good job. Not only do they do a good job, but they know right from wrong, and Brian and Thelma have no problem with raising their hands and saying, we made a mistake. So they're on Main Street just east of Stapley. Between the two families, the Vivian and the Thompson family, they've been in this area, in the Tempe and Mesa area, and other parts of the city since, I'm betting, the 60s and the 70s. Mm-hmm. So these two young people have come from a lot of background, and so they've been around as long as their parents have, and I'm sure they swept cigarette butts off in the parking lot like our kids did. Mm-hmm. So that's Thompson's Auto Repair and Towing. If you're in Mesa, may I suggest you try them. Let's go to Bob. Bob, good morning to you.
Mark, when I fill my car up, I like to pack the tank, as you put it, you know, till it clicks a couple times.
Uh-huh.
Do you ever watch Scotty Kilmer videos? He's on YouTube. He's a mechanic. He says that's one of the 10 worst things you can do to your car because you'll ruin the EVAP system.
Yeah.
And that could cost like $1,000 to replace.
Oh, God. So you want me to comment about some guy on the internet that we don't know if he's a baker, a candlestick maker, or a gynecologist, right?
He said he was a mechanic.
Yeah, but he said that. We can all say that.
Yeah.
Okay, the answer to your question is if you stuff the tank, and let me explain. At the very top of the tank, there's a vent. Okay, and what we're supposed to do is we're supposed to suck vapor out of the tank, send it forward, send it through a filter, and then burn it in the engine. So it's an additional source of fuel. It's not designed to run liquid through it. So when you stuff the tank, you run a risk of flooding the evaporative system. The idea that it costs... Let me change the question. Mark, have you ever spent $1,000 on somebody's evaporative system? Hell no. Mark, what's the most you've ever spent? $200 or $300? Was it because they overfilled, they stuffed their tank? Oh, it's probably a couple of them, yeah. When the canister is dripping gasoline, then yeah, it's usually that. How many times does that happen, Mark? About once a year. How many cars do you do a year? I don't know. We do 10 a day, 15 a day, 5 days a week. So, yeah. If, do you have a wife? Are you married, Bob?
Yes, I am.
Okay. I'm quite sure that you can show her the YouTube and she will break you of the habit of stuffing your tank. But here's what you also have to be concerned about. When you stuff your tank, usually you get fuel outside the tank. And so you stuff, and pretty soon it vomits fuel at you. I know that on my Dodge diesel truck that looks stupid running down the side of my truck. So on the first click, I stop. But yes, it can happen. No, it's not going to cost you $1,000. Is it a dumb idea? Kind of dumb idea. But do a lot of people do it? Probably 50% of the people I see at the gas station, click, 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 click. So I think the odds are slim and none that you're going to pay a price, but I can tell you I'm 100% sure that you're not going to spend $1,000 on anything. So anyway, that's the way it is. If you turn the question around and ask me about what we do, my answer kind of says it all. So we have stuffers. We have tank stuffers.
I'm kind of a stuffer. I don't stuff it to the very top, but I do it after it stops the first time.
Well, I'm happy that you do that because that's a Ford, and the sooner that thing gets out of my fleet, the better I'm going to like it. But anyway, thank you, Bob. And we'll put down your evaporative system question. Anyway, you know, there's a message on my phone.
Okay.
Do you know who it's from?
Yes.
And so do I.
Mm-hmm.
The message is a handful of men and at least a couple of women have your cell phone number.
Yes.
She's trying to get me in trouble.
Okay.
She's trying to get me in trouble by saying other ladies, other women have my phone number.
Oh, no.
Her name is Lynn, by the way.
Okay.
So what's the rest of the story with Allison at the top of the stairs? Allison had her bathrobe on. She had her hands on her hips. Anybody that knows Allison knows that I tell her boyfriends, someday that little girl's going to cut your heart out of her chest, your chest with her tongue, and she's going to put it someplace where you don't want it. She's tough. She actually ragged on me for a couple of days, if you remember.
Yeah.
She wasn't
happy.
She's
probably just never saw her dad in that condition because you don't drink a lot, obviously.
Well, and I was crawling up the stairs on my hands and my knees. And so it was a good I don't expect you to contact me, but if you check your phone, finish the story. Well, that's the rest of the story.
Yeah.
Lynn is a retired police administrator.
Mm-hmm.
She's one of the finest people I know. Mm-hmm. She's somebody that I trust, you know, with my keys to the shop and everything else. She's always been a personality lady herself.
She tries to keep track of you too, but you know, we just can't do it.
No, that's true. That's true. And actually the two administrators from Mesa Police Department both have my cell phone because one of them called the other day and she had a minor collision and wanted to know, you know, what do I do next? Yep. So yeah, there are some ladies that have
a
my
few
phone.
People.
And then there's a couple of them that are listed as Larry, but they're
stop.
Okay, I'm just kidding you. 602-508-0960, 602-508-0960. Let me tell you about another good shop while we have a few minutes.
Okay.
Kurt's Auto Repair. What can I say that I haven't already said before?
Yeah.
Kurt, Eric, and Jeff. It's just a great group to pull from. There's a relationship, and somebody's married to Kurt's daughter, and somebody on there, but they're all inbred anyway.
Oh, stop. Oh, my goodness.
But he's at I-17 and Bell, northeast corner, and I tell people a lot, I have sent him, people don't want to come to Warner and I-10.
No.
So they say, you know, I say, where you at? And if they're in that area, I send them to Kurt's. Never have I ever gotten anybody that called back and was unhappy.
Nope.
Now, we got a letter the other day. And if you'll remember, the lady or the man, it was an email, I think, that said, you know, I want to thank you because you recommended Kurtz. I went to Kurtz, blah, blah, blah. They fixed my car. And then he said, and the next day, Kurtz's wife showed up with homemade pastries and thanked me for my business.
Yeah.
That's something that we did in the 60s and the 70s, but Kurtz still does that today. Now, if I were you, this is what I would do. Yeah, after you work with Kurtz, after you're done with Kurtz, tell him you like filet mignon. And tell him you can't eat pastries because of your diabetes.
No, they only do first-time customers. I'm pretty sure about that.
Okay, well, I'm talking to first-time customers.
Oh.
Just tell him before you leave. Tell Eric or Jeff. I like filet mignon, and I can't eat pastries because it adds to my sugar. Just throw it out there. Yeah. My God, you live in a your lane in life is like as wide as a piece of paper.
Yours is way too wide.
Yeah, okay. Well, that's all right. I have a lot more fun than you do. All right, 11:40. We got 20 minutes left. The lines are wide open. Gil is our engineer. He just got out of jail. Did you know that?
Oh,
and
stop.
He's off probation.
Mark,
now.
Okay, time to go to a break.
Okay. 602-508-0960. We'll be right back. 45 minutes after 11 o'clock, Renee has left the studio. I think she's mad at me, but I don't care. She's mad at me 50% of my life anyway. So it really doesn't make any difference. Listen, I got good news for you, too. If you want to know how to replace a toilet seat, I can do that as well. Because she went into the barn the other day, and she wasn't real happy with the entire bathroom in the barn. So I cleaned it all up, and I replaced the toilet seat. And here's the really nifty part. We used to have to hold a wrench underneath the back and hold that nut and tighten up the hinges. But they don't do that anymore. They have these nuts with big ears on them. So as you tighten it up, the ear hits the side of the toilet, and you don't have to crawl underneath there and hold it while she runs the screwdriver. So trust me when I tell you, I know the difference between a round toilet seat and an oblong toilet seat, and I'll tell you how come I know the difference is because I brought the round one home, and I should have brought the oblong one home. But nevertheless, that's the way it is around my house. Vicki, how can I help you today?
Yes, sir. You know, I learned to drive on a 70 Chevy truck. In fact, I drove that truck for probably 15 years. That was it was three on the tree, and I did pretty well, except for when I had to get out with the screwdriver and untangle the linkage. So last month, I bought a 69 Chevy truck with four on the floor. I'm not real confident with the four on the floor because I'm having trouble finding reverse sometimes.
Okay.
And I want to know what shop to take it to.
Where do you live? What part of town are you in?
23rd Avenue Northern. Now, 25th Street Automotive does all my mechanical stuff, but I'm not thinking that they're going to want to do anything on a transmission.
No, you're wrong. You're 100% wrong.
Really?
Billy. Oh. Well, here, let me tell you first. I need you to do a little bit more, okay? Now,
okay.
There's a gate on reverse. Now, is reverse all the way over and down?
Yes. Oh,
okay, good. There's what they call a gate there. So you take the shifter, and you can do this in your driveway with the motor running. You push the shifter over. And then when you get to the gate that lets you into reverse, it's kind of spring-loaded. You push the shift and you feel tension. Feel tension. Okay?
Oh!
Did I just fix it?
Okay. Yeah. Yeah.
Okay.
Yes.
All right.
I mean, I adore this truck. I just had it appraised. It came up very fine. I thought it was me.
Oh, no. There's a gate there because when you shift from third to fourth, they don't want you going in the gate. So the
right.
gate is in the neutral position. It's horizontal to the way you sit. And so you push
right.
to the gate, and then you drop it down in reverse. Now, there is a way to synchronize all that linkage. The linkage all has a hole in it. I'm not supposed to tell you this. But what we do is we put it in neutral, and then we put this pin through the hole in all the levers. And then, well, not all of them, sometimes two of them, but most of the time it's all of them. And then we adjust all the linkage to make it match the transmission. And so, and really and truly, Billy has not only gray hair on his head, but his chest, I think, is probably gray. And I'm telling you what, if you're driving out for normal maintenance, here's what you do. You call Billy for an appointment and say, I got some transmission problems. And when you get there, say, Mark Salem says you don't have a prayer in hell of fixing this, but I told him you were my normal mechanic, and I told him I was going to give you a shot. So please don't let me down. Okay, that's what you say. That's what you say. And he said that he would pay 10% of the bill if you could actually fix it. But I'm telling you, Vic, I'm not paying 10% of the bill if he says the gate is what you're feeling. That's normal. If he says it's normal, I'm not paying. But if he can fix it, and I know he can, then tell him to give you a 10% discount, and I'll make it up to him later. Maybe in 2020 or something.
Oh, that's only next year. That's not that long.
Well, I know, but I'm just stretching it out because he's going to laugh, and that's okay with me. Anyway, all right, Vicki, thank you for calling in. And
we're
going to talk about 25th Street Auto, and I'm going to notice that Vicki put a little asterisk there saying that that phone call cost me money.
Yeah.
602-508-0960, 602-508-0960. We've got about 10 minutes before the end of the show, so why don't you wake me up if somebody
else calls.
I'm scared,
yeah.
Anyway, we talking about customers, mm-hmm. we really do have some really nice customers.
We do. Yes.
What was that lady's name the other day that had a really low customer number, and she had been with us since 1979?
Yeah.
Kay.
Kay Butler.
Kay. Mm-hmm. And Andy called us, and she mm-hmm. says, do you know Kay? Uh-huh. And I said, yeah, of course I do. I said, she used to live right down the street from us when we lived over there near, hold on, Rural and Elliott.
Mm-hmm.
And she lived down the street from us. And I also knew that she had a son, and I was pretty sure she wasn't married at the time. So Andy, said, well, here's the story, and she's really a nice lady, and on and on and on. So Kay later got back with Andy, because, folks, what had happened was is we had done some work on the car, and then her complaint was unrelated to the work. But because she had a three-digit customer number, and we are at 38,000 plus, Andy decided to comp the alignment.
Mm-hmm.
So she said, we got it fixed and it's done. So when Kay got home, she noticed that it showed an amount, but in the payment it said goodwill, and we had expensed off that amount. So mm-hmm. she wrote a nice letter to Andy. Now, the most important part of that story is that the second generation of the Salem family is now moving in to the operation side, and our daughter Andy is just exactly that. Women, I'm going to do a commercial for us real quick. Women really like Andy because, first of all, this is what it says on her business card. It says Andy Salem Verdugo. It says...
It only says Andy Salem.
Okay, all right. But she's married, and we got to give Phil, mm-hmm. her husband, we got to say that he's there. So, and it says Andy Salem, CEO, full-time babysitter of the men at Salem Boys. I love that.
Mm-hmm.
And truly, she fears nobody there. She's the only one that uses the female bathroom, but there ain't nobody that walks into the male's bathroom that she's afraid of. But she's also very kind. She's very smart. And so, but her and Kay Butler really kind of bonded, and that's perfect because we have some very old customers.
Mm-hmm.
And if you have a two-digit or a three-digit or a four-digit customer number, and we actually predominantly display that on our work orders.
Mm-hmm.
So the technician knows that you've been around. So if you have a 1,245 number, then you've been around a long time. Now, we like Billy at 25th Street Auto. We like Kelly Clark. God bless him. He died not too long ago. We have two generations and sometimes three generations of families with us. We've got right today grandpa, mm-hmm. kids, and grandkids. Mm-hmm. We've got three different generations doing business with us.
Yep.
So that's a heavy burden for the two kids, for mm-hmm. Andy and Alan. But I'm sure they're up to the task. And as long as Lynn continues to do business with us, then we can just charge her. And the next time
stop.
She comes in, I'm going to make sure her bill's like $1,000 more than the estimate. Because she deserves it.
No,
and I know that she doesn't carry a gun anymore anyway.
Oh, you never know.
Yeah, well, I know she doesn't. And I'm going to tell her that we put a metal detector on the front door.
Okay.
Well, when you're working on when you're using people to fix your car, there's a couple of rules I'm going to share with you because there's no one on the phone. First of all, if they give you an estimate, make them write out the estimate or predominantly place it on your work order. And I know that it's a hassle to go in and pay your work order and then go back out to the service drive, but you want a signature on that. Now, you guys say, my dad always said to get a signature. And you women say, my husband wants me to get. But here's the deal. If this estimate is bogus, if this estimate can't be duplicated, if this problem doesn't exist, they're not going to sign that. They're just not going to sign that. So you say, well, just sign one of your business cards for me, and I'll just staple it to the receipt. So that's how you separate the men from the boys and the good guys from the bad guys, is you ask them tough questions. The second thing you want to do is when you go to pick up your car and they say, hey, they had called you and told you you needed all kinds of stuff, then you say, well, when I get there, I'll get my owner's manual, and would you be kind enough to tell me what page on my owner's manual that it says that I'm due for this service, which is a service I've never really heard of before. So now, on the defense of the shops, the transmission service may be due at 80,000 miles, but if your fluid's brown, mm-hmm. we need to do it now. But the shop can easily take you back in the shop, pull the dipstick on your car, and drip a couple of drips of transmission fluid on a piece of paper. Then they go over and they get a can of brand new transmission fluid. They stick a screwdriver in it and put those red dots right next to it. So you're looking at brown fluid and red fluid. We're done. That's it. And the show and tell is something that good business owners want to participate in because it instills confidence. Mm-hmm. And I'm not the only guy that does it. I copied it from a lot of other people. Kelly Clark and Bill Bridwell, mm-hmm. Whitey Almgel, mm-hmm. Harry Martin, Jim Winters, all of those guys are old-time gas station guys that help brought up, and we're kind of the second generation to them.
Right.
So it's really important to pay with a credit card because if it doesn't fix the problem and the shop decides to not answer your calls, you can call the credit card company, send them a copy of the bill, and say, here's the symptoms, and they didn't fix it. And the credit card company will typically step in front of you and... It's not likely that the shop owner has the authority or the power and would be rather stupid to think that he's going to be able to threaten Visa or MasterCard or Chase or Discover. Because what percentage of our payments have to do with the plastic?
I'd say 90%.
Absolutely. So it's not something that we can afford to do is to tell those guys to, you know, that we don't need them anymore because we just can't do that.
No.
It's also important to understand the finances behind credit cards. Now, depending on your volume, you can pay between 1.5 and 3% on the credit cards.
Yep.
But the rewards cards raise that. So if you have a rewards card where you get points or airline miles or you get to go to Walmart and buy, you know, headliner glue or whatever, that costs us as well. We're up to 5%. We're up to pretty close to 5%. On some reward cards. That's the reason why Capital One, and I don't know if it's Capital One, but that's the reason why some of them are giving you a 1 or 2% back on your purchases. It really comes from that I'm paying the 4 and 5% on. So that's a cost that we are going to charge you for. We don't distinguish right now. We don't. I don't know anybody that does between cash and plastic,
mm-hmm.
but I think
there are people that charge extra to use a credit card.
Okay, I just haven't run across anybody in a long time, but there's something else too. One of our customers works for the high end credit card company, and he always teases me that we don't accept the credit card. Well, that credit card's a flat fee, so it has nothing to do with volume. It has nothing to do with your fraud count. It has nothing to do with. I mean, they're going to give all of us a break if we have high volume, we don't have any customer complaints, and nobody's used a fraudulent card at our shop. So there's their risk, and as long as we cover their risk, they're okay.
Yep.
So that's kind of from the business point of view.
Yeah,
that's,
and keep your old parts, ask for your old parts back. I don't think you said that, but that's an important one too, because if it doesn't work, then we can put it back on your vehicle and we can start over.
You can insist we put it back on your vehicle. Not too long ago, we put a motor in a transfer case. It didn't fix the problem. The guy came back. He was really nice. We found out that the tires were different sizes, which was causing the problem. So we took it. He had the motor. He asked for the motor. Actually, we gave it to him. You know that. We give you all your old parts back, but we're not going to give you your old fuel filters and your old oil filters. But so we put the old motor back in and gave him full credit for the motor. So that's the way, and I copied that from somebody else. Okay, my email address is mark@marksalem.com. My website is marksalem.com. And if you're looking for a good shop, may I suggest you start there. Just click on the best shops. I'll see you next Saturday right here on 960.